alabaster box. And I come today to praise because of what God has done for me. It's wonderful to be in God's house. What do you say? Amen. We are here to worship God. We are here to give him thanks for what he has done for us. I just want you just to turn your Bibles again with me to the chapter that was read. Second Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. I'm losing it. I'll find it. Don't worry. It's found. Second Timothy chapter 2. And I just want you to look at from verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every good word." Could you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, Creator and Lord, we give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor. You have afforded us the privilege to assemble together in your house to worship and honor you. We pray that you will empty us of self and forgive us where we have strayed and done and said things that we shouldn't have done. Create in us, Lord, clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. Speak to us now, Almighty God, and help us to understand your words, so that we will excel in doing your will. Give us a passion to serve you, and let your words be planted on good soil, good ground, so that it will bring forth fruit for you. So we give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, everything around us is created for a purpose, or it's made for a purpose. For example, the world that we live in. When you look at the lush, beautiful mountains, the hills, the seas, the rivers, the ponds, they were created for us to enjoy. And look at the man-made things, the chair was made for us to sit on, the bed for us to sleep in, and the cars for us to drive or ride in. What a waste it would be if all these things, all these objects, were not used for the purpose they were created for. So God, in his mercy and his love, also created us for a purpose. We were molded and fashioned to be vessels. We might be different in height, in size, in color, right? And in looks and shape. But regardless, we all have one common purpose, and that is to be God's vessel of honor. We ought to be clean vessels that can carry our God into the world, doing good works that will bring him glory, praise, and honor. We have seen or observed or have also heard that the purpose for which we have been created have not been used correctly or efficiently. And you know, when I read that, when I thought about that, I remember when I grew up, back home in Jamaica as a child. We lived we call it a district. Here they call it a village. And in our district, it's like our house was the biggest house in the district. And because my father was a big farmer, well, you know, he employed people. So we had this nice house, put it that way. And whenever they have like special like occasions or things, like weddings, it would be at our house. We didn't mind that because my sister and I were always flowers girls. I don't know what we were doing. Yeah, most of the time we didn't even understand what we were flower girls because it was our house. But the fascinating thing about our house was the way it was built. And I don't know if that happened in Sister Michelle or Sister Shelley's house where, or in your houses back home, where your parents have, you know, we have a living room and a dining room. But in the living room, we couldn't go. It wasn't a place for us to play. Yes. And in there, you know, my mother had this, I don't remember what you call it, but like today they call it like a whatnot or a whatever, a cabinet. No, it was more than a cabinet. It wasn't a cabinet at that time. It was a bigger thing. And she, a break front, thank you. Yes. And on this, in this thing, she had these vessels. Or crockery. Pretty. Yes. Gold. We have this gold lining or silver lining. And my mother would say, don't use these. They are for special occasion. Yes. So you couldn't touch it, except when pastor comes over and they're having like a meeting. These are the vessels they use. For the wedding, these are the things they use. So these were the like the honorable vessels. But us as children, we had our plates. Everybody had their plates and their cup. And you know that that is yours. Yes. Yeah. And these were ordinary vessels. So these were the ones we use. Yes. So we couldn't use those except for special occasions. But even today, in our homes, we have special things. Isn't that so? Yes. We have special things that we use. We have visitors who come over and we take out these special things and we use it for them. And it's the same way. If we go to the supermarkets or the grocery shops and we buy things, we get them in plastic bags. So they carry our groceries. They are clean. So they carry our groceries home. And after we empty them, we use them as bin liners. Isn't that so? The same vessels. So now they are unclean. They're not wholesome anymore. So we can't take them back up and we can't use them again. And this is what we are going to look at today. Because God has called us for a purpose. And in our world today, it is a reality that the church has lost honor in the society for various reasons. We lost honor because we have lost purity. When something is pure, it is not mixed with any other substance. It is not contaminated. It is morally good. It is undefiled. When we lose purity, we lose a sense of distinctiveness that underscores who we really are. It is also important for us as a church to understand that honor has much to do with holiness and love. Holiness means to be morally and spiritually excellent and blameless. Remember, we are doing the book of Daniel. And in Daniel, an excellent spirit was found in him because Daniel lived a clean and a holy life before God. And that is what we are expected to do. Jesus also commanded us in St. John 13, verse 34 and 35, to love one another. Because we're talking about holiness and love. He says, by, you know, this word, the world will know who we are when we love one another. Jesus said we must love each other just like he loves us. Sometimes we find that hard. Isn't that so? And we love today and we don't love tomorrow. That is not love. I don't know what it is, but we do it anyway. We love this person today, but we don't love them next week. And today I might say something to you, and you don't love me, so you don't want to talk to me, right, Sister Jazz? Praise the Lord. We keep going. But God loves us unconditionally. Okay. Where there is holiness or love, there is honor. Honor also has to do with humility. And this is where a lot of us have a problem. We're not humble. No. Because to be humble means that we are not proud or arrogant, and we are not selfish. When we are humble, we walk in honor. We walk consistently with the will of God and the word of God. Micah 6:8 reminds us that one of the qualities that the Lord requires from us is to walk humbly with our God. God has called us for service. We did not choose him. He chose us. For before we were born, Isaiah reminded us that we were engraved in the palms of his hand. So God knew us from the beginning of time. God has chosen us, right? We who are here today and listening, he chose us to be restorers of honor to the body of Christ. We are called to be sanctified, set apart for a specific and particular purpose. All of us who have been called to serve in this church over the next 2 years or further on, we are called for this special purpose to serve. And we have to live according to the principles that God sets us for us. If we look in 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter 2, verse 9, where it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, year to year, we have where a nominating committee meets, and they nominate individuals within the church to fill the different departments. You know what the word is telling us? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So then, we are chosen by God as his vessel of honor. Therefore, we have to stand in that place that he calls us and fulfill the place that he calls us to be. God did not call us because we are gifted, because our gifts are impure. He calls us and he equips us for service, because all good gifts are given by him. And in Hebrews, all right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and look what he calls us to do. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So when he calls us, he knows who we are. He's telling us to lay aside the sins which doth easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God tells us, when he calls us, He says, "My daughter Yvonne, what I need you to do is to lay aside the weight and the sin that beset you. I have called you for a purpose. And unless you lay this aside, you cannot fulfill this purpose that I call you for." After we have laid aside the garments of sin and uncleanness, we are implored and encouraged to study the Word of God. Let me tell you something, church. If we are not studying God's words, we won't know what we are doing. Because God's words are words of instruction. It says in, it was read in Timothy, that we just read. Listen to what it says when we do not study the Word of God. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if we don't study, can we divide the word of truth? No, we cannot. And we will not be able to divide the word of truth. God is saying to us today, both women and men, study to show thyself approved. Spend quality time in the Word of God and in prayer. Let the Word of God become your daily food, and prayer becomes your lifestyle. Why is this so important? Listen to what it says. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So when we do not know God's words, we are going to say what God did not say. And this is going to lead to ungodliness. He says, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. That is, what he's saying is that there are people in the church that are of this sort. So he says, they have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection has already passed. That is, we are saying what is not there. And we cannot say what God's word did not say. When we understand the truth, the true meaning of God's holy word, then and only then can we share it with others. We can share it with our children, our spouses, our families, our friends, and those we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. Therefore, my sisters, it is important for us to study and understand the holy words of God so that we can be approved or validated in the ways of God. And my brothers, the same goes for you. If we do not study God's word, God cannot validate us. God's word will not be able to validate us because we are not going to say what he has called us to say. When we have studied the word of God, then we are able to expound or share the word. When we do not study, it affects our speech, and God will not be seen or heard. And that is why the Bible calls it vain babbling. Yes, because we did not study. But if you don't study, just like young people, if you don't study, how can you do an exam if you don't study? You know, sometimes you're going to school or you're going to college and you're going to university, and you know that at the end you're going to have an exam. At the end there's going to be a test, but you don't study. And a couple days before you're asking for prayer. Let me tell you something, if you didn't study, God can't bring it back to your remembrance. So you've got to study. Yes, how is he going to bring back to your remembrance what you don't know? So you've got to study. Study the word of God and know it. It says here, we must be pure. We must be pure. God wants us to live pure, wholesome, and clean lives. We must be purified for purpose and polished for prepared use. And this is where we are purified, through God's words. When we read God's word, we know that we're not supposed to behave in this particular way. We are not supposed to do this particular thing. Because the purpose we are prepared for must show what we are doing. There is no power without purification and holiness. God wants us to be pure and holy, and this only comes through total surrender. Total surrender of ourselves to Him. And it says here, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And it tells you in 22, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If we don't have love, if we don't have faith, if we don't have peace, how can we represent God? We will not be able to do so. You know, this great house is the church. The vessel are believers. There are those believers who have totally surrendered their lives to the Lord and are honoring God. There are those who are dishonorable. But you know the good thing about it? When you are dishonorable, you can become honorable. Because being honorable is a choice. God already knows who we are, as I said before, because He is sovereign and He is omniscient. He knew us before any of us were formed in our mother's bowels, our mother's wombs. He was the one who formed us. He was the one who took us out. He knows us. And he knew that all of us were going to be sitting right in church today. He knew, because He is God Almighty. He knew that we would be here today to hear that there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. But He knows also that His word is going to tell us, choose to be vessels of honor rather than vessels of dishonor. Those who are dishonorable, as I said before, has the opportunity to become honorable, because being honorable is a choice. When your life is in order with God's word and you're committed to Him, you will grow in the grace and admonition of the Lord. And as you grow, you will begin to be elevated in the things of God. You have to be pure in heart, in your thinking, in your speech, in your character. And you must be consistent. We can't be in church today and we're not in tomorrow. We can't be in church this week and we're not next week. And we can't be doing what the world is doing. We have to be consistent if we are going to be the vessel of honor for the Lord. The vessel must honor the treasure it represents. Vessels of dishonor cannot represent God, as it hinders the presentation of the image. Therefore, God cannot and will not use impure vessels, as this will tarnish His image. There will be no loyalty, no respect, no understanding, no responsibility, no honesty. A vessel of honor will compromise the word of God. It will compromise God's standard. It will compromise God's integrity. And this will misrepresent God. And God will not be seen or heard. The vessel of dishonor is the vessel of wood and clay. Why? Because wood and clay cannot take the pressure. If you're going to put clay and wood through a machine, it's going to grind it to pieces. If the clay is going to be ground to dust. Wood and clay cannot go through the fire. They will be burnt. When we do not stand up for God, God will not be there to stand up for us. So when you have difficulties, when the storms of life come, when the pressures of life come, the vessel of dishonor will not be able to stand. You're going to get frightened, you're going to quarrel, you're going to be upset. And this is where a lot of people just walk out of the church because I didn't talk to them or because you didn't talk to them. And that sort of a thing. We can't do that. We are God's people. Whatever happened, we can work things out. And when you're going through something, ask your sister, ask your brother, pray for me. This is happening to me. You know? But when you are wood and earth, you cannot manage. When, on the other hand, the vessel of honor is sanctified and pleased to do the master's will. The vessel of honor represents the king. This vessel is the vessel of gold and silver. Gold, and a lot of us, we love gold and silver, not true, especially ladies. Yeah, you like nice, pretty things, gold and silver. Yes. You notice that especially when they're going to get married, they want to go and choose the rings. Yeah. Sometimes they go before the man that they're going to marry to, and they just look and they see a lovely one, and they mark it. They mark the ring, you know, because it's gold. You have white gold, and you have, what the other gold? The gold-looking gold, yes. That one, whatever, red gold. And you go, and you look, and you choose this one. And then a few days or so down the road, you go with the man you're going to marry, and you walk around and look. You know, you see the one that you want already, you know, you mark it. Yes. And you don't say anything. So when you go, you walk into different stores and look, I don't like that one. And I don't like that one. And then when you get to the one that you mark, you say, yes, I like that one. Yes. Because you look at it and you see the quality. Gold has quality. Silver has quality. The vessels of honor are the vessels with silver and gold. And when these go through the fire, they are purified. So they come out clean. They come out holy. They come out sanctified. That is what, when God's people who are honorable, when you're going through tribulations, when you're going through troubles, when you're going through torment, you get on your knees and you pray and you ask God, Lord, help me to go through this. And when at the end of it all, you come out rejoicing. Like the other day, I know a sister had a problem. And she called a lot of us and she said, let's pray. And the end of it, when everything came out good, whew, you wouldn't see the dancing. I think she's still dancing today. Yes, and that is what happens when you are the vessel that God wants you to be. The troubles, they will bother you. But because you have family who you can call to come and pray with you, and you believe that God is able to take you through this situation, you pray with faith, believing, because you have gone through God's words and God tells you what to do. And you come out and you rejoice and you give God thanks for what he has done. So the vessels, these are strong in the word. The vessel of honor. They are strong in the word. And they live according to the standards of God who is holy. And as I said before, when gold and silver goes through the fire, they are purified. They are not easily broken and swayed. They are able to stand against the storms and the pressures of life. The vessel in the great house are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. We have a choice today. Which vessel would you like to be? Well, my encouragement today to the women of God and to the women in the church, remember to be godly wives, godly mothers, godly sisters, godly aunts, godly grandparents or grandmothers, godly friends. When we are like this, you know, God made women a special kind of a way. He made women with this a kind of resilience. Because biologically, it says that the woman uses the right side of the brain and the man uses the left side. Elder Enoch, stop shaking your head, it's the truth. Anyway, what happens is, you know, women, sometimes you look at things. I remember when, long before my husband died years ago, you know, we were building a house. And we're looking at the plan. And we're thinking of how we're going to do this house. And I will say, can we do so and so? And then he will say, no. No, I don't think that looks good or whatever. Or he'll come up and he says something. And then you make a point. And then, you know, you stick to your point. You hold on to it, but you're not complaining. I'm not complaining, not quarreling. Because I know my husband. He will take a week and he ponder it and he thinks about it and he talks about it and he prays about it, and then he comes back 2 weeks after and the same thing that I said, that is what he says. I had said it 2 weeks ago, we could have moved on. Yes, but that is what women are resilient, and I want the men to understand that. Listen to me, we might be going through something hard and tough and we stand up. We stand up like a rock. But you see, when nobody's there, they will go to the bathroom and they'll cry. Or they find a quiet place and they cry. They cry out to God. And they say, Lord, give me the strength. And they wipe their eyes and they come back out and they look just like nothing happened. That is what women do. Because we trust and we believe, I'm not saying the men don't, that God will take us through, you know, what is going on. And to the men of the church, this is my charge to you today. Be godly fathers, godly husbands, godly brothers, godly uncles, and godly friends. And so, both of you, wives and husbands, mothers and fathers, you will bring up godly children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And building our houses on the solid rock or the solid foundation of God. Holy words, in holy words and in sincere prayer. You see, when we work together as a team, we stand like a rock. We cannot be shaken. We will not be moved. We remain honorable vessels for the Lord. But when we are divided, we will fall. So God is saying to us today, he's called us to be vessels of honor. We are a royal priesthood, a holy people, called by God. Therefore, let us stand up for holiness and purity. We are royalty. Let us live like it. Let us act like it. Let us behave like it, so that the world around us will see Jesus Christ in us. We are vessels of honor. Let us carry the gospel message, the living water, the light of Christ beyond our families, into our communities, our workplaces, and into the highways and byways where the ungodly sits in darkness. Let the light shine for them to see Jesus in us. Remember, our bodies are the temple of the Lord, honorable for holy use. God calls us for holy use. God calls us to stand up for holiness. God calls us to stand up for righteousness. God calls us to be a loving people, a caring people, a people that studies his word, a people who live by his word, a people who does his commandment, a people who does what he calls us to do. And I want to let you know that this is our purpose. And if we do not fulfill this purpose, we will fail. And our Lord and Savior, he is coming soon. He is coming back for a prepared people, a people who are a vessel of honor. God bless you.
All right. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we are honored to be created as women. There's something that you have implanted in every woman, and it's a gem of your creation. As the women of this church has come forward, we are praying to commit them into your hands. We are praying to commit them into your powerful care. That, Father, you will continue to be with them. You know how you love them, and you created Eve to be at the side of Adam. We know, Father, how fragile they are, but they are strong in your sight. When men are hiding, women come forward to propagate your gospel. Women are the candles in the night. They bright at every corner they find themselves, especially those who know their God. They bright at every corner. So today, you have spoken to the women of this church that they are the vessel of honor, and therefore they should live according to that. To let people see who they are in Christ. To let people know that, yes, indeed, you have bought them with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The married couples among them, dear Lord, bless them and help them to be good wives. Those with grandchildren, dear Lord, help them to be grandmothers. Father, those who are yet to marry, be with them and let them focus on you. Whatever, Father, we are studying as women in Christ, dear Lord, help us that we can live a life worthy of emulation. We are pleading, Father, we might have gone astray, but today you have reminded us how valuable we are in your sight. If we do your commandment and live by your precepts, the world may not know who we are as women. They may trample down over us as women. They may not regard us as women. But Father, we are so much valuable. We are so precious in their sight. And therefore, help us to see ourselves as such. We are the queens and the princess of our God in heaven. Help us that this idea and this valuation will be inculcated in our minds and our hearts. That we will live our life according to your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you have done and you are about to do in the lives of the women in this church. Blessed be your name, for you have answered our prayers in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Our most holy and merciful Father, Almighty Yahweh God, we thank you for all your many blessings on this holy Sabbath day of rest. We thank you, O God, that you created first man. We thank you, Father, you blessed him, and you say that man should not be alone. We thank you for blessing marriage, O God Almighty. We pray for all men here. We lift them up to you, every husband, O God, that first of all, they put you first before everything and before everyone, that they submit and humble themselves to you as they submit and humble themselves with their wives and each other. We thank you and we pray, O God, as it is written in your holy word, that the husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. We pray for the men, O God, that there'll be godly men in their homes, the priests in their homes. We pray that they truly study your holy word, applying it in their lives, so that the young boys in the congregation and the young boys in their homes, their nephews or whosoever, when young men see them, O God, they will see the godly example of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Father, we pray that the men will spend quality time with their families in the holy word of God, making that time. Father, we pray for the homes. Yahweh God Almighty, be with the men. We thank you for bringing them together this morning. And we pray they will be able to encourage one another, strengthening and encouraging one another, building up one another to do your holy will. We pray the men will continue coming with their wives to church, sitting with their wives and their families. Oh God Almighty, I pray for the men, as I said before, to have quality time with their families in the holy word of God. We pray for the homes where there's no man. Father, please be with these men, whether they're elders or deacons, that they encourage the other young boys coming up. We truly pray for our young boys coming up, the little ones, the toddlers. Fathers, we pray, O Almighty Yahweh God, that they truly encourage them. So as the children grow up, the young girls will know what to expect when the time comes that you bless them with a husband, because they saw how their father treated their mother. They will know how to take care of their husband as a husband takes care of the wife. Almighty Yahweh God, be with our men, not just here, the old men, those who may be by themselves, those who with family, but all men all over the world. And we pray, O God Almighty, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, especially in these troubled times, for the young ones coming up. Thank you for watching over our men. Thank you, O God, for strengthening them and knowing their ears to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, my son. Come into the narrow road. It may be bumpy, but it's the road that will lead you to eternal life. Yahweh God Almighty, encourage them. And know in their hearts that they come nearer and nearer to you, so that they will be nearer and nearer to their families. I pray for godly love, godly peace and unity in their homes. And most of all, I pray for every one of us here that we truly seek first the kingdom of God Almighty and your holy righteousness, now and forevermore, in the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Messiah, or Redeemer, or soon coming King. Amen and amen.